The Charlotte Hornets finalizing a trade to send P.J. Washington to the Dallas Mavericks for Grant Williams, Seth Curry, and a first-round draft pick, according to Adrian Wojnarowski's sources. Brian Geisinger, my man, at bgeist underscore bird, Pack Pride, 24/7 Sports, BuzzBeat Podcast. We got it all covered. So let's start with the breaking news, Mr. Geisinger. What are your thoughts on the... I thought PJ was going to be here. What are your thoughts on trading PJ Washington, and what do they get?
Yeah, well, first off, if Goodell... with the thing you guys were talking about, Goodell, it'll be the first time he's covered for a billionaire. So there is that. But you know, PJ was in an interesting place on the roster because they clearly have like a young group of talented players with LaMelo, Brandon Miller, Mark Williams, Nick Smith Jr. And then they had sort of like a cast of older guys that were potentially tradable pieces, Terry Rozier, Gordon Hayward, who are both gone now. You know, we'll see what happens with Miles Bridges. And then PJ was sort of in between that. Like, he's still in his like early to mid-20s. Former first-round pick, good player, very useful, can do a lot of things. And they re-signed him last summer to a pretty good contract, actually, one that clearly had a decent amount of trade value because they were able to get a first-round pick out of it, lightly protected first-round pick in 2027. And then Grant Williams, who was, like, you know, Dallas's big off-season signing last summer as well, who's sort of struggled the last couple of months after a good start for the Mavs. But you know, it's look. I was a big fan of PJ. I think he's a really good player. I am excited to see him play with Luka, and I hope he gets the chance to show what he can do in the postseason because I think he has a game that's made for being on the floor in the postseason. And the Hornets, they bring a couple hometown guys back in the steal too, with Seth Curry and Grant Williams, both from Charlotte.
Look, finally Curry. Curry will play in Charlotte. That's great. I don't hate this because I think both Curry and Grant Williams, if you are a good team, I think both of those guys are super useful as depth players, occasional starters. I really do. If you have a good team, a playoff team, I think those guys can be valuable pieces of it.
And they're probably like a couple of years away from that, but Williams is young enough that he could be a part of the build going forward with him, or like because he has a couple of years left on his contract, like they could look to flip Grant Williams for something else, like another draft pick in a season or two. So like that's the other way to do this. And I just gotta say, like, these kinds of transactions for the Hornets, like, this has been a terrible season. It's been a bad run the last couple of years, but like these are the kind of like sort of forward-thinking, you know, move a player to get a pick that we've seen with Rozier, PJ Washington. Now we'll see what the final terms of the Gordon Hayward to Oklahoma City deal look like. But these are the kind of sort of like transactions I've been wanting to see from the organization for years now, that we're sort of like looking beyond the scope of the current season and sort of planning to build around a young team and get some net positive first round picks in the door.
One more thing about the Hornets before we turn our focus to NC State. The Miles Bridges, who had a monster night even in a loss, last night, he basically said, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to veto any trade. So the Hornets retain his bird rights, which basically means they can pay him more and give him more years, I guess, than anybody else. But this basically is paving the way for a sign and trade in the offseason, or is Bridges going to be part of the core of this team going forward?
Yeah, well, like, this is tough because there's like a difference between what I want and what, you know, what could happen, which is like, I mean, I don't want, you know, Miles Bridges to be on the Hornets anymore. I'm still sort of like awed occasionally that he's playing basketball currently.
Right. Based on what he did in his personal life. Yes.
Yes, correct. Multiple occasions, multiple reports. I think it does. If, like, you're looking at this in terms of, you know, basketball terms, like, yeah, I think it does set up for a sign and trade. And like, it's a process that Clutch Sports and Rich Paul will have a lot of say over, as they did with them basically saying they would shut down any trade for Bridges at the deadline this year. They're able to do that because Bridges is playing on a qualifying offer and would have lost his bird rights in a trade. So that's sort of like one of the protections that the league has in for certain players, I suppose. And but yeah, my guess would be that this clears the way to that, and I'm hopeful that that's the case because I really think the Hornets need to shift the culture there as they build around Brandon Miller, Mark Williams, and Melo Ball, and I don't think you can do that if this guy is still there. So I would just like for him to be away from the team that I cover.
Brian Geisinger is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show BuzzBeat podcast. You can see him on Pack Pride's post-game podcasts often. So let me get to last night's loss to Pitt, which was disappointing. Kevin Keats was adamant that it was about free throw shooting. My pushback is, yeah, partly, maybe 25%. Free throw shooting, I think it was more about allowing a couple of offensive rebounds late, maybe missing a couple of defensive assignments late. And the truth is, you really only have one reliable perimeter offensive player in DJ Horn. I think it was more about other things than it was about free throw shooting. How did you see last night?
Yeah, I guess in a vacuum, last night could be about free throw shooting. But I think... We have these conversations with State a lot, right? So it's like you can't just narrow it down. It's not just one thing. And if you sort of stretch it out over the course of a full season, and you've just got a team that's limited in what it can do offensively, and to keep one of its better offensive players in the court in DJ Burns, like they're a little compromised defensively with that.
Little.
Jalen Lowe is a nice freshman guard, but he goes off and has a huge game for Pitt last night. He's given a lot. Like, he gave Duke trouble a couple weeks ago, too. He's nice. Like, Jeff Capel brought in two really good freshman guards this season with Bub Carrington and Jalen Lowe.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I think it has to do with the fact that they have an offense that just doesn't have that high of a ceiling, and they've tried to hang their hat on the defensive side of the court this season. But it's hard for them to sort of like always find the right mix of personnel without also then sacrificing something on offense. So it's just like it is hard for them, I think, to consistently string together complementary basketball and play like strong two-way games. And look, Pitt's good too. I think you agree with me on that. Like,
I like them.
Pitt's got serious players on that roster, and Capel's a great coach. So like in a vacuum, again, no shame losing to Pitt either necessarily. It's just like, it's hard to ignore the context, which this feels like sort of a lost season, even despite the conference record, in front of couple of thousand people there last night. So, I think Kevin Keats is a good coach. I think he's done some nice things at State, but it's not like in a great healthy spot at the moment in terms of like where the roster is and where it could be, in a few short months, which is like sort of what matters most, I think.
No, there's no question. I know he was asked about the NCAA tournament. He didn't really answer the question last night about can they still get it. He sort of brushed it off and talked about, bigger picture things, even though that's the bigger picture issue for certainly for fans. They probably have to win six of their remaining eight games. They got to win three of their remaining five games on the road and all three at home. And they can win these games at home, but ultimately finding wins at Carolina, at Clemson, at Wake, at Florida State, it's just not going to be easy to find a lot of wins there. I wish DJ Burns had had a... If he had last season, this season, I think maybe NC State would have been in a better position. I don't think I'm wrong in thinking that he has taken a significant step back. I don't care what the numbers say. A significant step back. I don't think his conditioning is the same as it was last year. And he wasn't exactly Dwayne Johnson. last year. I'll leave it at that. But I didn't even bring it up before when Victoria asked me about, is Kevin Keats on the hot seat, which I think the answer is yes, that unless Carolina's in the building or Duke's in the building and they'll be there at the end of February, like, it's half empty. Yeah, I mean, PNC Arena can't be, we can only have 10,000 people in there for a basketball game. They have a great home court environment when there are, 15,000 to 18,000 people in the seats. I think that's a big deal. Let me get over to Duke with you real quick. Brian Geisinger, at @BGeis_Bird. So Duke didn't shoot it well last night, but I appreciated the approach of driving as well as they did, 38 points in the paint. Thought their defense was good. Of course, it's, you're grading on a curve because Notre Dame is a terrible offensive team. But is it fair for me to still be concerned because there's something up with Kyle Filipowski?
Last night was not like a super like encouraging performance from Duke. I guess you don't take any ACC wins for granted. Like, they all count the same, right? I mean, that's not entirely true. But in terms of the win-loss column, I guess they do.
Yes.
I think if you want to, look at the glass half-full approach, it's like Duke can still win despite having a not great Kyle Filipowski game. And yet, despite that, despite him not being at anywhere close to his best last night, Duke was still plus 19 with Filipowski on the court, and he almost had a double-double. He's that productive and talented of a player. I really would. I mean, it's easy for me to say, as someone who, well, especially, looking back, as someone who had a bit of a hothead when I play basketball, but, I would love for him to just, stop focusing on the refs. I was at Cameron last night. The amount of, conversations he had with, John Gaffney, during timeouts. And
right.
I think some of that is, good back and forth and good transparency. Why'd you call this? Why'd I get whistled for this? But I just would, if he can just focus on the game, in most matchups, he's the best player on the court, and he's a total matchup breaker. He's tough to handle. I thought Notre Dame did a good job against him last night. When he caught the ball in the short roll, Duke's been able to, for two seasons now, to really eat off flip, making passes and finishes in the short space and short rolls. None of that was there last night. So I would just say, they've got a lot of basketball left to be played. And if you get the good version of Kyle Filipowski, then Duke is awesome. They're as good as, if not better than any team in the league, or they're right there with, Carolina, I suppose. So my thought would be, he's got to get even a cold streak with a shot. But I would also, just from the mental standpoint, I know teams are going at him. Teams are very physical with him. They're also trying to get him in foul trouble. It's got to be frustrating. But he's got to find some way to sort of block that out, because he's too good and too important for this team.
Yeah, I just watching last night, it just seemed like nothing was coming easy for Filipowski. And I really thought in the game against Carolina last weekend, I didn't think Carolina would be able to guard him with Bacot. That Filipowski, when Bacot was on him, he would take Bacot away from the basket and he would be able to drive past him and force help and all of that. And he wasn't able to do that. Filipowski, I mean, did they double him? Sure. Did he take Bacot inside? But Armando was able to handle him one-on-one and make life difficult. I really thought it was going to have to be the other way, was going to be Harrison Ingram that was ultimately going to guard Filipowski, because he's a more fluid athlete. But Carolina didn't need to make that adjustment, because Filipowski, again, nothing came easy for him, and it's been that way maybe since the game at Pitt, when he careered, it was 4-for-4 from three-point range, and it was a run where he was 8 for his last 10. Duke has to get a better version of him. I actually inquired as to whether or not he was hurt, because it did look like he wasn't moving the same way. They say banged up. Yeah. Hurt? No.
Yeah. I mean, I think that it is probably something to consider with Flip, this season at Duke and going beyond. He's obviously a high usage player and a very, he is a big time play finisher. He can really score and stuff like that. But the things that he does best are, like, it's out of that size, and, like, it just is how skilled he is. Like, the passing, the ability to make plays in space, to handle. And so I do sort of think, like, you know, when he, if, you know, when he transitions to the NBA, I still like him quite a bit as a draft prospect, like, he will be someone that comes in and, like, amplifies an offense, right? By being, giving them some spacing, some passing, some shooting in the front court. And just asking him to do that, plus also, like, anchor their defense, mm-hmm. Guard a ton of ball screens every game, and also be, like, a low post play finisher, a screen roll, dive finisher, a pick-and-pop shooter. Like, he's being asked to do a lot on both sides of the court, and, like, the team is designed to be set up that way. But I do sort of think that, like, it's sort of asking him to do something that, like, occasionally takes him away from doing what he does best, which is sort of, like, I think, like, give an offense flow and help get guys open with his ability to, like, pass from the high post. Mm-hmm. Like, when they were at their best last night, it was, you know, flip at the elbow or flip above the break, and they're running flare screens for Jared McCain. And, you know, Mark Mitchell slipping those, you know, setting those flare screens, McCain's getting a three, or Mark Mitchell slipping and diving to the rim for a dunk, or he's getting fouled. And, like, that's when they're at their best, not when they're just trying to, like, throw it to flip in the post and, like, see what offense he can generate. And the big thing, like, I tweeted this out, like, he took four pick-and-pop threes in the UNC game, Gold. He missed all four of them. But they were all wide open, like little to or no contest whatsoever. And, like, that's the thing. Like, if he makes two of those, that game's totally different. And who knows? Like, maybe if he makes all of those, that geeks out Hubert Davis enough where he says, like, we need to be able to switch these screens.
Yeah.
If that's the case, then you do end up with Harrison Ingram on Kyle Filipowski so he can switch the screens or whatever. But that didn't happen. Like, they gave him those looks, and he just couldn't knock them down. And, like, when they rematch in a couple of weeks, like, we'll see, because those looks will probably be there again against UNC's scheme.
What you're saying, I think, Brian Geisinger, is that it all looks different when the ball goes through the hoop. Basketball can be such a simple game. Brian Geisinger, at @BGeis_Bird, 24/7 Sports, Pack Pride, BuzzBeat Podcast. We talked all the ball. My man, I'll talk to you next week. I appreciate it.
Yeah, you guys enjoy the games this weekend.
Absolutely. Who you got, Chiefs or 49ers?
I'm going to go Kansas City. My mom's boyfriend, Tim, big Kansas City fan. So I've like sort of de facto become a KC fan the last decade or so.
Very nice.
Yeah, I'll go Kansas City.
All right. Scientific way of selecting the Super Bowl. I appreciate it.
Exactly.
It's just as good as, you know, I like the color yellow.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
Thanks, man. I'll talk to you later. Yep. Brian Geisinger here. You too. On the Adam Gold Show.